Alongside the vital advocacy role played by Caritas at international level, the Confederation is reviewing its work in the three other key areas: responding to emergencies, promoting peace and reconciliation, and long-term development to empower local communities. One of the expanding areas of work which permeates all Caritas programs, especially in the developing world, is HIV/AIDS ministry. Across Africa, as in other parts of the globe, the Catholic Church provides around one quarter of all the prevention, care and support programs for individuals, families and communities affected by HIV and AIDS. Father Bob Vitillo is Special Advisor on HIV/AIDS to the Caritas Confederation. He's just produced a new pastoral training manual on the specific Catholic response to the challenges of this pandemic.
Well, this is a training manual, a pastoral training manual on responding to HIV and AIDS. It's actually a second edition. We had a Caritas training manual that was published by the Daughters of St. Paul in Africa in 1996. And the sisters told me that there were many requests for it, but after 10 years, it really needed to be updated. So we did a second edition, but this is much expanded. We've learned a great deal about HIV and AIDS during the last 10 years. And we also have a lot more best practices that we could feature of the church's response to AIDS. But then also there's a much more intensive focus on pastoral accompaniment and support. Because I find that more and more we really still need to continue our programs of training clergy and religious on the spiritual and the pastoral aspects of responding to AIDS.
If you talk about the amount that we've learned, as you say, over the past decade or so, what do you think are the most significant issues that you're dealing with in this manual?
Well, certainly we've learned a great deal about how the virus works, although we still haven't learned how to stop it from working anymore. But also then we do have the antiretroviral treatments that help to prolong life and bring about a better quality of life for many people. So this is reflected certainly in the manual. Also, there's a great deal that's reflected on the advocacy that's necessary, on working with governments to make sure that we have universal access to treatment, support, care, and prevention for all people who need it, and not just for those who can afford it.
As you say, the advance in antiretroviral medicines has been enormous, has made a huge difference, but not so much in Africa, where the disease is still concentrated, isn't it?
We now have at least 2 million people from developing countries on these medications, and that's a great advance compared to past years.
But well below the targets you'd set yourself.
Well below the targets, yes, and that's the point. The impact of the medications is very clear in the communities where people are getting access, they're living longer, they're going back to work, they're taking care of their children, we're avoiding producing more orphans that way. But we need many, many more places to be able to get access to the medications.
When you're talking about funding, the last time I saw you, you were talking about this vast network of care and prevention programs that the church particularly is doing, not only in Africa, but the lack of funding that reflects the great work that's being done.
Yes, this is still a problem. Certainly, I think that in many of our church donor agencies, including many Caritases from the north, are trying their best to support programs. But when you look at the size of the problem, there's no way that we could be able to provide all the funding that's necessary from our own church funds. But we still have to do more. But then we have to find the ways to access the global fund support, the government support for these programs. The church is performing maybe one quarter of all of the AIDS work in the world, and yet we certainly don't get one quarter of all the money that's being sent out there for HIV and AIDS.
This is still a very political issue, though, isn't it? I mean, how do you manage to negotiate your way, if you like, through this complex world of the political issues surrounding the funding debate?
Well, in all advocacy, I think so much of it is based both on clear information, on persistent information, but then also on building relationships. And so one of the reasons why Caritas asked me to be based in Geneva was to build those relationships with the global agencies, with UNAIDS, with the World Health Organization, with the Global Fund. The Global Fund works mainly through country coordinating mechanisms, and so when I go to them and say, we need more money for the church programs, they say, well, we can't do that from here in Geneva. It's up to the country where the programs are being sponsored. But little by little, I've worked with other groups of church agencies and other non-governmental organizations, and we now have a new guidance that's been put out by the board of the Global Fund to those country coordinating mechanisms that they should at least be willing to have both a proposal from the government itself, but also from civil society. So that will open up a little more the possibilities of the church being able to access some of that money.
How high is the question of HIV/AIDS on the agenda here at the General Assembly, which of course is making plans and looking ahead to the next 4 years?
I've been very pleased that HIV and AIDS has been mentioned many times in many of the sessions already, and not just as a kind of vertical program. We just had a presentation on the Caritas's emergency work. Several times they mentioned HIV and AIDS as a transversal problem that fills into everything that we do as Caritas, not just as separate programming. We also have many discussions going on around integral human development. HIV and AIDS was mentioned as one of those areas. And then we had during the General Assembly three study sessions on major problems. HIV and AIDS was one of those principal focus areas. So I think there's much more sensitivity to HIV and AIDS than we've had in the past.
And so you would say it continues to be a priority, not just for Caritas, but also within the local churches as well, where you're working?
I would say yes. Certainly, I find more and more that bishops' conferences are asking to study this issue much more. Often I'm invited to help them do that. And then also dioceses, groups of religious and clergy are focusing on this because it has such an impact on their ongoing pastoral education, social service, and healthcare work.
The book and the work that you're doing is focused very much around giving people and communities hope where AIDS had somehow destroyed that hope. Does that continue to be perhaps the key message that you're trying to put across?
Certainly a key message to bring across that there is hope, and I think this is very much in keeping with our Christian outlook on things, Christian optimism, no matter how much suffering we have, even to the point of death, as Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead. And that's our perspective as Christians. So yes, to bring hope to people through this work. But then also, I have to say that in my own ministry in this area, I receive hope by finding people that in the midst of terrible suffering, terrible illness, terrible loss, they still hold on to this hope in God, and they are grounded to the grace that they receive from God. And I think we need to tell that message. That's preaching the gospel in a very practical way.
Father Bob Vitillo is Special Advisor to the Caritas Confederation on HIV and AIDS.